Ultimately, it might be my bad for screwing the whole routine. I've got this thing about my life where I just can't get into routines. I just have to do something to mess them up. So now that I've been here long enough to know the routine, like the back of my hand, I had to subconsciously screw it up. I want to talk to you guys today about fear. Fear is an amazing thing. I believe that there isn't a force in the universe that has the potential to affect your life, your relationships, your career, your day, your moment, more than fear does. Sorry. It has been described, fear has been described as the greatest motivator. And I'm sure that everybody here has, to certain degrees of difficulty, been able to account where they are in life right now to a little bit of fear. We can give credit to who we are, what we've done, what we've become. We can give a little bit of credit, maybe a lot of credit, to fear. But my question today is, how do you feel about that? Is fear really your greatest motivator? On the same coin, how much have you lost to fear? How many sleepless nights have you given to fear? What has anxiety stolen from you? Have you had goals that you've had in your life that you did not accomplish because of fear? For just a quick show of hands, has anybody here been skydiving before? I'm going to show a clip in a second here. I want you to think about the experience of skydiving. I feel like right now everybody has a little bit of anxiety just thinking about it. I want you to watch this clip real quick. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. If anybody's willing to go today, this afternoon, I would be willing to jump out of an airplane with you guys. Who's taking? Matt? Yeah, all right, here we go. Let's do it. I got to tell you, I put a little asterisk by this point in my notes because I wasn't sure if I was going to talk about it or not, but Danielle and I actually went skydiving. She got me as a present for our wedding gift. I got her a puppy. I don't know. But, yeah, but I had a similar experience to Will Smith in that I was cool, calm, and collected the whole time. I was just really excited to go skydiving. The night before, I did not have those night terrors. I didn't have any fear about it. But when he says, in that moment, you realize you've never been in a freaking airplane with the door open, I lost it at that moment. It was, I was the first one of three of us to jump out, and you know, you got a guy strapped to your back, and there was me and my guy, Danielle and her guy, and somebody that we didn't know. And then there was a single jumper who was like training to be one of these guys. And we get up to 14,000 feet, and there's like a red light, a yellow light, and a green light. And the green light goes off, and this guy opens up. It's like a small garage door type. It just rolls up. And this single, the guy who's jumping by himself, opens the door, and Superman dives out of the airplane. And I swear to you, I lost it. I never been in a plane with the door open. B, I've never seen anybody jump out of a plane. It freaked me out so bad. Our plane was smaller, so we had to like scooch on our butts to get to the edge and dangle our feet over the edge. And our what they told us was we have to keep your arms on your chest like this and keep your head down. And all I could think about was, where did that guy go? So I got to the edge and I was like, I'm like, freaking out, I don't know where he went, what happened, and my guy is behind me yelling at me, keep your head down, and he jumps out, and I'm not kidding you, everybody talks about jumping out of an airplane, how afraid they are of falling. In like he said in the video, in 1 second, you lose that feeling. It's like your stomach jumps, like you feel this little pit in your stomach, and then it doesn't feel like you're moving. It's the most incredible. Blissful is the best word I could think of to describe it. It's the most incredible feeling in the world to actually fly.
How many feet did you do?
We were 14,000 feet high. Normally it's like 12,000. Our plane for some reason was bigger that day, so they took us up higher. It was amazing. We got to free fall for about 40 seconds and then parachute for, 10, 15 minutes probably. It was awesome, awesome. So what are you most afraid of? Is it falling? Is it flying? Is it heights? I'm open to shout outs here. What are you guys, what is your biggest fear? Failing. Anybody relate to that? I'm right there with you, yeah. Anything else? Being alone, okay. I swear I did not plant them. We didn't talk before, right? Okay, my next point is failure. My next point is being alone. Anyone afraid of public speaking? Anyone afraid of dying? Afraid of death? It's said that in America, the number one fear, anybody know what the Americans' number one fear is? Public speaking. Number two is death. That means if for the average American, if they went to a funeral, they would rather be in the casket than giving the eulogy. Fear is an incredible motivator. So we're going to talk a little bit more about failure, and we're going to talk a little bit more about being alone. But first, I want for you to, just for a moment, close your eyes and picture Thomas Edison. Thomas Edison, widely believed to be the greatest inventor in American history. And I'm not going to give you any more details about him. I just want you to think. I want you to picture in your mind what Thomas Edison is doing, maybe what he's wearing, maybe where he is. And get that picture in your head. And most importantly, I want to know, in your mind, what is Thomas Edison doing? And now if you want, you can open your eyes and just let me know, in your mind, what Thomas Edison's doing. Anything?
Reading.
Reading, okay. Listening to a phonograph. Turning off and on a switch, okay. He's at a desk. He's working, yeah? He's doing something. My next question for you is Thomas Edison alone? Okay. The truth about Thomas Edison is that He rarely worked alone. In fact, when he invented the light bulb, which he's most given credit for, the light bulb was not a singular invention. In fact, it was a series of inventions, a network of inventions. He, at any given point, had up to 30 assistants working with him and for him. The light bulb required chemists, mathematicians, physicists, engineers, glass blowers, all working with him at the same time on separate inventions to put this light bulb together. So why do we constantly think of him being alone? We think of the greatness that he is, the genius that he is, and we think it has to be done alone. Now, I don't bring this up to lessen your opinion or what you believe about Thomas Edison, that he didn't do it alone. More so that when you learn more about Thomas Edison, my goal is that gives you hope, because you don't have to be alone. Greatness doesn't have to be accomplished alone. Thomas Edison may have been a genius, he may have been a great inventor, but more than that, he was dedicated. He was focused and determined. He was a hard worker and possessed no skill or characteristics that you and I don't possess. He worked hard and he knew what he needed. He needed people around him, not because he felt like they were smarter or that he was smarter, but that because nothing can be accomplished by yourself. Nothing great can be accomplished on your own. I'm a big sports person, and I often use sports analogies in my talks and in my life, really. And this one's a little bit of a stretch for me, but when I think about sports and I think about loneliness, I think about swimming, because it seems to me that that's one of the most lonely sports there is. Now, I could give you examples about Michael Phelps. I could give you examples about how hard he worked and how his trainer trained him from the time he was 12 years old. I don't want to talk about Michael Phelps today. I want to introduce you to Diana Nyad. And if any of you know who Diana Nyad is, she holds the world record for longest distance open water swim. In 1979, the record was 60 miles for men or women. Diana Nyad set out to break that record, but not just break it. Her goal was to swim 100 miles. It took her 27 hours to finish her swim of 102-point-something miles. But they weren't alone hours. They weren't alone miles. Now, sure, she probably had a little rowboat rowing next to her to make sure she was okay and to give her nutrition and food and things like that that she needed. But when you think about the fact that there were doctors in that boat, there were trainers in that boat, there were divers swimming 150 feet below her to watch for sharks and creatures and things that would danger her. There were NASA scientists in that boat watching the weather and watching the water patterns. There were nutritionists. All in all, over 25 people were with her that day when she broke that record. So swimming's not as lonely as you think. Look, here's the bottom line. There have been too many times in your life that you have felt like you had to bear the load of your burdens alone. There have been too many times in your life that you've had this thought that this is my mess, this is my decision, this is my choice, these are my repercussions, and I'm not going to bother anybody else with them. There have been too many times where you've worried about what others would think if they knew how you felt or what you were going through. Too many times you let worry, anger, resentment cloud your thoughts and judgments. And I want you to think right now, what would it take for you to believe that you weren't alone? I often stand up here and tell you guys stories about my life, and most of those stories are about my kids now, and I would say 95% of those stories, I don't learn the lesson until much later after the situation happens. I had this experience a couple weeks ago with my kids, though. where I was getting dinner ready. And the way our lifestyle is set up right now, Danielle works later in the day than I do. So when I get home with the kids, I usually get dinner ready and on the table, and she comes home shortly after that. But excuse me. This one day I was having a discussion with Emerson about his water, and he wanted his water in a big boy cup, no lid, no straw, no nothing. And for me, it's way easier to just make it a sippy cup. I know that I'm not gonna have any spills. And we had this little discussion, and he ended up winning the discussion. Big boy cup it is. So as I put the water on there, he was really excited, and he knocked it down. I'm telling you immediately. And of course, my first thought was, well, told you so. That wasn't the first thing I said. In fact, it was such a weird experience for me, because it was like, instead of getting frustrated that our mail was getting wet or that there was water dripping over the edge of the table or through the crack, I just watched this water. Water is an amazing thing. Okay, I'm an overthinker sometimes too. So I want to give characteristics to water that you really can't give. But we can give characteristics, we can relate to characteristics that water has, right? We're 60-something percent made of water. Water is incredible. And this water on my kitchen table this day blew my mind, right? It had no concern about my mail. It had no concern that it ruined my moment. It had no concern about anything that was on the table except to fulfill its purpose. All this water did was exactly what it was supposed to do. So it leveled itself out, because water just levels. That's what it does. It rolled off the table when it met the table's edge. It soaked into paper. It soaked into napkins with no concern or worry about what it did to other people. No concern or worry about what other people thought. We're 60%. 60-something percent made of water. Why do you spend so much time worrying about other people? Why do you spend so much time worrying about what you're going to feel or think or say or do and how it's going to affect somebody else? What they're doing and what they're thinking has nothing to do with your purpose. Nothing. So I took a towel and I wiped this water up. Half of the water in one swoop, picked it up. The water didn't care. It absorbed itself into the towel. There's a Bruce Lee quote that I'm thinking in my head right now. I wish I would have wrote it down, but he says something along the lines of this: be like water. Water can crash, water can save. If you pour water into a cup, it takes the shape of that cup. If you pour water into a teapot, it becomes the teapot. Without any concern of what it is or what it thought it was before that moment, it becomes where it is. It becomes what it is where it is. We're more than 60% made up of water. So in my mind, I'm taking on those characteristics. I want to be more accepting. I want to be more understanding of what my purpose is. I want to know that acceptance is a complete commitment to my purpose. Now, this water, this simple act of my son spilling a cup of water, that water may have had no idea what its purpose was. It just accepted immediately. It went from being in a cup to leveling itself out on my table, through my mail, through my papers, through my napkins, on my floor, filled the little grout lines it was incredible. I'm not kidding you. It was one of the most beautiful momentary experiences I've ever had. So fear is the ultimate motivator in our lives, yeah. But what is beyond it? Will Smith talked about at the moment of maximum danger is ultimate bliss. And at any point, you're just one step away. You're just one step away from going through that fear, getting through that fear. Sometimes you just have to be like water. I have a I have a really strong fear of failure. If we were to meet on the street and you asked me my biggest fear in a heartbeat, I would say, I'm afraid to fail. And I had a really good morning today. We had to drive two separate cars, so I left a little bit early, and I went up to Einstein Bagels, and I had a cup of coffee, and I pulled my notebook out. I was looking through my notes, and I turned this thing off, and I just started writing. I don't write nearly enough, but I was just feeling like I had something coming through me. And what I wrote down was, I'm not afraid to fail. I'm not afraid of failure. I'm afraid of success. And up until this point, I've been afraid of failure, which has stopped me from even trying because I thought I was afraid of failure. I don't know how I would handle it if I succeeded. And so that, in a minute, reminded me of this quote by Marianne Williamson, which I'm sure most of you, if not all of you, have heard, and I want to read it to you right now. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. And the quote usually ends there. But I want to go on and read more of it because it's so important to me. Our deepest fear is not that we're inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. And it's not just in some of us, it is in everyone. As we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. So for those of us who are afraid to fail, my question to you, my question to me is, and so, what if you fail? Usually, the thought that goes through your mind right now is all those other things, those other people. Well, if I fail, what are they going to think of me? If I fail, what am I going to think of me? It doesn't matter. That water's purpose was to be in the cup. Now, that water could have felt like it failed when we knocked it over, but it didn't. It accepted, it moved on, and it fulfilled its purpose. There's a very good chance that failure is part of your purpose. Don't stop when you fail. There's a very good chance that just beyond your fear of whatever it is, if it's not failure for you, what fill in the blank here, there's a very good chance that whatever is beyond that fear is just one step beyond it. It's just one step away from ultimate bliss for you. And that's the way I see it. Thank you.